Good morning, this is Declan Meehan and you're listening to a repeat of The Morning Show on East Coast FM. Our text lines are open but your messages won't be read out during this repeat. Normal charges do apply.
Have your say. Call The Morning Show hotline 0818 303 103.
Right, the housing scheme in Rathnew took 4 years to build. If that's the rate they build at, there will be a lot of people waiting for a long time. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Greens and Labour drove the workforce out of the country, including nurses. The problem could have been fixed. They gave thousands of houses to Vulture, funds for buttons. My head is bursting listening to these clowns. Be careful, lads, with your social housing. They might end up like slums. Don't pile them on in one field. Could we talk about something that's related as well, this rural isolation? And that report today in the Irish Farmers Journal about farmers and people in rural Ireland, cocaine. There's this isolation, there's the drink driving thing, they can't get out, there's you know, there's the lack of housing, school places for children. There's just a hell of a lot going on in rural Ireland. You want to take that first, Andrew? A lot of people. Crime is an issue as well. Yep. You know, marauding people just down on the N11 coming in, and you don't know if you're safe or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think rural isolation is an issue. It's probably more exaggerated in other parts of the country, certainly in rural Wicklow, but other parts of the country than here, especially where you have a mainline good artery of a road where you have people who can come in, do their damage and leave very quickly. Part and parcel, I think, of any community is neighbourhood, community built spirit. We've had in the likes of Roundwood, for instance, Garda Alert. We have the home alert systems. But I think when the postman isn't calling to the door anymore and leaving the post at a box, you have somebody who's normally in every day. We need to be aware of our community, aware of, you know, our
elderly. But are government contributing in any way to that isolation?
Well, it's hard to say how you can pin the point the finger at a government or a.
Well, what can they do to alleviate?
Well, I think support rural communities in terms of the likes of those community schemes. If you take the pure project, and I know it possibly come up, the protecting the upland rural environment, it is in many ways the tidy towns of the rural areas, but it gets people out, it gets them aware of what's going on in the community, gets them to tidy up rubbish that others, you know, just carelessly or stupidly leave behind, but it also gets them to be aware of what's going on.
But at the same time,
it's not just during the day. No,
okay, but they can't go down to their local post office because it's not there anymore. And if you got some problem with crime, sure, the Gardaí are not there because the station has been closed down. And I know you opened up one back again, but it's that sort of thing that people say, you know, the ATMs are going to be taken out by the two big banks. Maybe there's one in a shop in you know, some rural town in Wicklow that's just going to go.
Well, not every
probably taken
not,
over.
Notwithstanding the fact that people, there are post offices and Garda stations have closed, there's no denying it, but not everybody, there's reasons for that too. Behind that it's patronage in terms of the post office, but not everybody that's not always the way you interact. I mean, people go down to the local, whether it's the local Daybreak or Gala or Centre or whatever, that's the focus. I mean, in many ways, 20 years ago nobody was buying milk in a filling station, now they're buying it in it. So there is networks where people actually know where they'll meet people, and it's a matter of being aware of it. We have all modern technology for communications, we have panic and alarm buttons, but we still need to make time, and I think as a society we need to make sure that
it's up to people. Is that what you're saying?
When anything good is done in the community, it's usually done with the assistance of some public taxpayers' money. It's usually done by the voluntary sector and communities. So if you support a Tidy Towns or you support a Pure project, there's funds coming from one source.
So what you're saying is there's method to actually have a community I think, not be in isolation.
Yes, and I don't think you can actually. I think it's really important that it's supported and encouraged, and whatever way it can be helped, it's done. But it is down to the people that, and you see wonderful communities.
Indeed, I mean, we're looking to live in a wonderful community. What's Fianna Fáil's view on this one, Pat?
Yeah, well, I suppose rural isolation is a big issue, and it's becoming, I suppose, greater. And I think what is needed is greater investment into the critical infrastructure into our rural villages.
That's money. And taxpayers' money, is it?
Yeah, that's taxpayers' money, specifically into the investment into our water infrastructure, both wastewater and freshwater.
No, we're talking about people's isolation and loneliness.
Yeah, but what we need to do is sustain our villages. We can't sustain our villages at the moment, because if you look in Wicklow, most of the rural villages in Wicklow have no capacity to grow and to grant planning permissions for houses within the villages. Never mind what Tom's talking about, the crackdown on one-off rural houses, which is another deterrent to live in rural Ireland.
So people come to villages.
Thomas
asked about one-off houses a second ago, but you mean get everybody down to live in isolation into villages?
No, what I'm saying is we need to support a rural community. At the heart of each rural community is a village, be it Lara, be it Hollywood, be it Roundwood. That's the heart of that rural hinterland, and we need to allow that to sustain itself. To do that, we need critical investment like water infrastructure. Irish Water are not paying heed to any of the small rural villages across this country. They need to be forced into capping or to ring fence a percentage of their funding into rural villages to allow them to sustain themselves. If we don't take them, next minute it'll be the schools, it'll be the community centres, there'll be no football team. So we need to build the focus around the village.
How can somebody go for a pint?
That is a big challenge. And let us not be honest, as a publican, I've seen the effects that has in relation to my industry and in relation to rural isolation.
You can't get a sort of a Hackney service or something about this in priced with insurance out the door.
Yes, I think we have to look at this, and it is a challenge how we're going to find a way to.
Nobody's looked at it already, no?
I think they have looked at it.
And this doesn't just appear in the election. This has appeared for years,
is an example.
Yeah, the local link 183 that now goes from Glendalough to Wicklow Town, and it runs a late night service on Friday and Saturday night. So as people, if they want to come from Wicklow up to Glendalough or Roundwood to have a pint, they can get back to Wicklow.
Okay, but let me ask Tom. Tom, you want to visit your friends in Hollywood now. You want to go over to Tutties, is it, or whatever?
Tutties, yeah.
Yeah, and you're in Lara. You bypass poor old Pat's place there in Glendalough, but you go over the mountains if you want. I don't know if you drink or not.
That's no, I don't drink or smoke, Nick.
That's
no.
Okay. But I'm just saying, if you want to visit somebody, I mean, how would you imagine? How is isolation, in your view, in the county?
Well, it's serious. Like, it's a mental health at the moment. Like, it's that bad. I know a man, he used to go collect his post, or used to get his pension at the post office on a Friday, and he'd drive to it in the tractor, and afterwards he used to send a letter to himself to make sure someone had come around to see him, and he used to be able to go into the pub and have a pint. He can't do that anymore, and his post office is gone, and now he gets a neighbour to bring him once a month to collect the pension. So that's loneliness in my eyes.
And what's your suggestion for contributing to solve this?
Like, why did we close all these post offices? Why did we stop the guards on the beach, you know, on the street? Like, in Rathdrum, there used to be five guards, and now there's down to two. How do we, people haven't got time for each other anymore. Like, everything is a big rush race. Like, no one checks in and see, oh, it's such a okay. Like, people are ran off their feet. They need to earn money and get out there and get going.
The quality of life.
Life, yeah, yeah.
Andrew, I saw you making a note there when you were talking about this, the Hackney service for pints and things. I mean, was that in relation to that?
Yeah. No, I was just making the point that I think developing that local link service, that Pat mentioned, the 183, which is wonderful, and I've been out around West Wicklow, and people are saying if you had a regular service as opposed to the once a week thing, which is the rural link, that it does depend on people using it now, in fairness, but in the villages that are around the lakes, say in West Wicklow, if there was a service that a couple of times a day, would in the morning and the afternoon, would bring them to a bus that could get them into Blessington, or be at Baltonglass, wherever, and they can get a bus to go into the Talla Hospital, into shop, and they know they can get a bus.
So develop into that.
And it's about linkage between all the public transport services, and that links people around isolated areas. The one in the Glendalough, the 183, has been really successful.
It's 11 quid, isn't it, a subsidy per seat?
Well, it's a €3 fee travelling.
But it's 11 quid in real cost. So it's being subsidised, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, no, it's been heavily subsidised. But what we're saying is, it's the likes of the local link where people are guaranteed a service. They know the service is going to be there. They know exactly when it's going to be there and they can plan around it. And that needs to be maintained and to be given the chance to develop over a period of time. And it's not going to be overnight success, but it can be worked on.
Just on that, you made the point, how do you support? Like, if it is subsidised, it's subsidised. So you're asking how we support it. That's one of the ways you support it. Most, practically all of Dublin, most routes in public are subsidised to some degree or other. So this is giving the rural community some level of subsidy, which helps deal with rural isolation, I would contend, and I think we all agree on that.
Yeah. All right, just one thing that's sort of related. Talks are due to take place today in a bid to avert a potential strike by around 500 home helps on Friday week. And the number of people waiting for HSE home care has risen by nearly 500 in the space of 5 months. There were last July 7,350 people waiting for home support. You know, that's a bit of an indictment. Pat, what would you think of that? I mean, there's people, maybe the only caller during the week is somebody from home help, and people are on a waiting list. Maybe people need it, they see somebody for half an hour or whatever.
Yeah, no, listen, in relation to the whole area of health and all the main political
care
parties
in the community, basically,
have all signed up to Sláinte Care. So the high
isn't that what people have just run into Sláinte Care there.
I'm just saying that as an opening thing, that we've every political party signed up to Sláinte Care. But one of the critical things in relation to health is providing step down facilities and home care packages, because we all know and we've all identified at this stage that the blockage is getting people from the hospital into step-down facility and home care packages. And we fully believe, and I think everybody here will believe, we need to invest a lot more emphasis
into the
home care packages, because they're part of the solution. And until we do that, we're still going to block
the hospital. And what's your manifesto saying about looking after care in the community and looking after these people who look after the people?
So we are proposing an increase in relation to home care packages to another 300 million hours of home care packages to be provided. And that's only a start, Declan. There needs to be an emphasis and a ring-fenced emphasis put on the likes of home care and providing additional step-down facilities where people can leave hospitals and step down into...
Okay, and you're happy with that, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's 3 million, not 300 million.
Oh, sorry, did I say 300 million? 3 million.
Yeah. And there was a million extra provided this year. Look, one of the challenges with this, and make no mistake, is getting the people. And this is, and the people trained. So when we talk about apprenticeships and we talk about training, I've been had experience of it in not too distant past about the value of home help in my own family. Really wonderful, and I know that some of the people that were involved in that got training, in service training, and they get QQI level 5, level 6, whatever. That's really important.
Are they there to call into the people who need it?
That's the challenge. When you,
challenges.
No, sorry, Declan.
You've been there since 2011, and all you have is challenges.
No, Declan, just listen. There was 14% of the people unemployed. It was easier to get them than when there's 5% unemployed. So that's the challenge is now that when you come nearer to full employment, you have less of a pool to pull out of and train. And this is why I think taxation and part-time work for people who maybe are a little bit older, shall we say,
you've been challenged by your success, as you would put it. We're not successful in getting everybody into work, therefore we cannot have anything because there's not enough people.
That's your words. I'm only giving you the
but
facts.
Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what you said.
So you can't do anything about it because you're too successful.
I just said I think we need to look at taxation, give relief to people who can do maybe 20-25 hours a week if that's what they so wish, and be entitled to draw down their pension, occupational, or whatever, that they're allowed to do that.
Okay, so they're not penalised for putting work in.
Absolutely.
All right, okay. Word on this, Tom. Care in the community, Tom. People who need it, people who are just out of hospital, people who are getting infirm or frail or something, they depend on people coming in to help them. There's not enough of them.
No, there's definitely not enough. No, it's... And it's like our age is, we're getting older and older, and we're all going to need more help. To me, our nurses are the front line in this. The nurses should be the highest paid in this country for what they have to do to look after people. And when people come out of hospital, they need more care, and we have to get more people involved. and encourage them and pay them a few more pound to go out and go around and care for our people, our sick people.
And that's what the meeting is all about, that they're looking for that. We'll see how the negotiations go on. It is Tom Dunn, it is Pat Casey and Andrew Doyle with us this morning. More issues coming up in just a second. 087-77-11-103. We've got hell of a lot of texts and communications here. I hope we can get through a good few of them anyway before we reach the end of the programme.
WhatsApp or text East Coast FM now. 087-77-11-103.
Good morning. This is Declan Meehan, and you're listening to a repeat of The Morning Show on East Coast FM. Our text lines are open, but your messages won't be read out during this repeat. Normal charges do apply.
The Morning Show on East Coast FM.
The Morning Show
with Declan Meehan.
With thanks to Flanagan Cairns Southern Cross Road Bray. Furniture for life. Visit flanagancairns.ie.
Morning show at East Coast, and Minister Andrew Doyle is here from Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing Pat Casey is here. An independent candidate, Tom Dunn, with a background in not only fitting windows but also in sheep. He's a member of the Sheep Shearers. Let's start with a little story where there was a meeting in Glenview last night. The Delgany community people, they were talking about, obviously they're worried about beautiful areas around Delgany that could be conflicted by development of the N11. People say we need the N11, it's not fit for purpose, nobody can get up or down. It's 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. is just full of traffic. Okay, we'll do the buses get stuck on that one because there's too much traffic. The 133 decided not to go through Bray because, you know, it just delays it in competition with Wexford bus, so people should stay in the county, should stay maybe in Greystones. Oh, the IDA field is still there, it's been there for 20 years or something without a thing on it. What about Arklow? The Enterprise Park is certainly underused down there. We'll get a train, only three carriages with no promises of getting even more carriages or frequent service on the train service. We are planning the houses, as we said in previous conversations, in Ashford, in Fassa Row, there's the Cherrywood coming along. Lads, we're in bits here. Have we any straight policy on this one? Andrew, is there some solution to all this? Because it all is just sort of knocking on. We don't have the jobs. People coming in from Dublin. There's no public transport to get people out. We're building houses because we need them. Those people, actually, they're going to add to the problem on the N11, but they can certainly get public transport. It sounds like a long-winded question, because it is, because it's all interrelated.
Yeah, it is all interrelated, and the solutions will be interrelated as well. Like, there's no one perfect fix for it. So you say the trains, there should be more frequent, at least one extra train with longer carriages, but it needs to have patronage because of the irregularity of them. People aren't using them. We need to have proper transport. You're talking about the N11. The irony of it is, if you just stand back and look at it, in the mornings it's the northbound lane backs up way down to Newtown. In the evenings at peak hours, it's clear by the time you get to the Lena Down. So all the problems are further north, practically. Not all, but almost all. If we're going to run extra bus corridors, extra buses, it has to be through a bus corridor with park and ride. But critically, and this is what we were talking about during the break, local authorities and the government agencies, led by governments and the local authority members, it has to be said, need to work to in a county like Wicklow, any of these adjoining counties to the capital, to make it more attractive for businesses to establish here, so that people can live, send their children to school, be part of a club, and if they have to commute, they're there. Well, we've created extra jobs. Isn't that a pace that's necessary to reverse the flow and make the N11, the N81 have commuter traffic going in the opposite direction to the rush hour traffic more and more?
Okay, and I'm sure I've heard that now.
I'll give you one example. Under the action plan for jobs, and this is a small one but it's significant, Wicklow was to be part of the film centre of excellence. We got a 1.5 million for the creation of a creative hub at Claremont campus recently to develop that, so that Wicklow is the capital for filmmaking.
Okay, Pat,
it's just one example.
Solution.
Yeah, the solution is to try and create jobs and just create sustainable communities.
Come on, you were part of a task force that was bringing jobs and all this sort of stuff of Wicklow County Council when you were on it, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, no, I wasn't. I've worked on that since that, Declan, and indeed I can honestly credit myself with the work I have done in this in relation to the delivery of Echelon Data Centres for Arklow. And that's the second one I've been associated with there. Now, that's $1 billion investment for Wicklow.
90 jobs, is it?
800 construction jobs over a 5-year period.
Where are we going to get these? We're 4% increase in production
jobs. So we're talking about trying to create sustainable communities to stop people commuting. To do that, we have to create jobs in Wicklow. The other key issue at a holistic level is housing affordability. If we had housing affordability in Dublin, where the jobs are, we wouldn't have the people in Dublin coming down to take the houses out of Wicklow. So it's all about creating sustainable communities. I've worked hard to try and get jobs and job creating, and I've been successful. That's part of it. That's part of the solution. The other thing is proper transport services, whether it's bus or rail. Andrew has mentioned, like, there is capacity to pull on another service in the morning. We need to increase our carriages, but the people need to know that the service is going to be there, it's going to be available, it's going to run on time.
It's a priority for both of you. What about you, Tom?
Like, Declan, you mentioned N11 there, but don't forget about N81. The West Wicklow there.
No word till 2027 on that, by the way.
A disgrace. To me, like, this commuting to work is serious. People are spending too long in their cars, like, and what's the solutions? When you hear about the Laurie was talking about only two carriages for the train in Rathdrum, sure, where are we going? And no sign of it. Like, we need more carriages, we need more buses, we need affordable transport is the big thing. We need businesses to be brought to the likes of...
Do you hear anything from these parties and others? There's other parties standing in County Wicklow. That give you anything to any sort of hope that things could change?
I don't think anyone has heard it, to tell you the truth. Like, there's a small glimmer of light, but not enough has been done. Like, I'm one of them commuters that do travel for hours every day, and I know about it too. But, we have to try get more businesses. We're on the doorstep of Dublin.
And if they don't want to come?
But there should be med come, like. Everyone is going too much into... Like, there's Blessington, Bottenlass, Arklow. Like, all need a bit more businesses. Like, so... Our politicians have to fight more and more to ensure that, like Jackie Healy-Ray says, Ireland stops at the Red Cow roundabout. And the man is talking sense. It's looking like that the moment.
For a lot of people in Wicklow, you're probably right. What about the site visits? Was it a Fianna Fáil TD in Cork said only a couple of site visits to the IDA, from the IDA in Wicklow in 2016? Was it one or two or something like that?
We'd only one last year visit.
And you're empowered then.
Yeah, well, just there's around 4,300 EI jobs, Enterprise Ireland jobs, about 2,000 IDA jobs. We have met several, and down in Arklow, Richard Bruton, in his time as minister, Arklow was amongst four areas that were actually at High Kells and the County of Kerry designated for accelerated tax allowances to try and incentivise businesses.
With or without a sewage scheme?
Well, the sewage scheme is another story, and if you want to get into that, we can.
I'm saying it's a dependent on jobs.
Yes, it is needed, and it's absolutely brilliant that the CPO, compulsory purchase order...
Okay, so we get more jobs in Arklow when the sewage scheme comes out, I promise.
Well, you can get more development, like, straight up. But
I want to talk about farming in a second,
The IDA, when we meet them, and we've met them down the years, they'll tell you, part of the IDA's businesses that come in, they encourage them to go to places where there is demographics proved, there's a workforce, there's services available, but they ultimately choose. Tom says you force them. I don't think you can force them. You can encourage them, but you can't force them.
I just want to say in relation to the IDA, the stats don't relay what's actually happening on the ground. Mm. I've had several meetings with the IDA in Wicklow. I've had several meetings in relation to Echelon and other industries. So
okay, but what you're saying, they're not official, but there are conversations. All right, okay. I want to come back with farming for Andrew's topic and Tom's topic in just a second. It's Andrew Doyle, Tom Dunn and Pat Casey.
The Morning Show on East Coast FM.
The Morning Show.
With Declan Meehan.
With thanks to Flanagan Cairns Southern Cross Road Bridge. Furniture for life. Visit flanagancairns.ie.
Thanks for all the texts and the WhatsApp and the Facebooks. Declan, can you please make a point? Why is Rat New getting so overbuilt? It's becoming concrete jungle. There's no fields left. Andrew Doyle talks as if he hasn't been in government the past 9 years. His party has failed us. He should hang his head in shame after his failure to regulate the greyhound industry. Let me see. Best of luck to Tom Dunn in the upcoming election, getting it done. What are benefits for self-employed? Have been out of work through serious illness since October 2018. Not entitled to any sickness or benefits. What are the guests doing about big tax avoiding corporations that don't pay the same rate of as SMEs? A house is built in Rathnew Council. 147 are not owned by the council, but leased from the contractor from Northern Ireland. Good money after bad. And so they keep coming, but there's a lot in there, and I know you'd love to answer all those. But the farming, Andrew, it's your neck of the woods as regards topics as such. So the future of farming, the worry in the farming industry, Green Party say they're usually the party that, you know, get whipped on this one, but they say they want to work in partnership. Other people want to talk about rewilding, but people are worried about biodiversity and indeed incomes for farmers. So what do you see the next 5 years in the farming community?
Indeed, and there's certainly a divergence of views on what farming does or doesn't do in terms of the environment. I firmly, passionately believe that land use and farmers are part of the solution to climate change, no doubt about it, while at the same time producing food for an ever-growing world population. This year, for what it's worth, for people that may not know, is the international UN International Year of Plant Health. It's about plant protection. We live on an island, so we've advantages. 80% of all food consumed on the planet by humans is plant-based. 20% is upcycled by animals and bees and everything else. And that's the likes of the grasses and vegetation that's upcycled, and then the nutrients redistributed through animals. There is a lot of debate about the impact of cattle, in particular ruminants, on greenhouse gas emissions. But I think we need to examine the science and have a rational debate. I'm not going to get into that.
But because farmers' incomes, which are...
I'm coming to that. I believe that if we do this correctly in a joined up manner, farmers... Every farm and every farm can contribute to biodiversity. I honestly believe we can go to aim ambitiously to get to carbon neutral food production on this island, so that the net food production, be it from cattle, be it from dairy cows, be it from sheep, grain, whatever, is actually offset by other measures and actions taken on the land.
Like trees.
By land. Trees.
Rewilding?
In certain places, rewilding will be the case.
Okay,
trees.
And one last question on that. The incomes of farmers.
Yes, and then we look at the incomes. So you have the Common Agricultural Policy, which has been the traditional policy, and it's an income stream. And a lot of the Pillar 2 rural development funds can actually assist on efficiency programs for cattle and sheep, for other measures, farm safety. But we also should look at the Green Deal and the Climate Action Funds. So instead of paying out money in a fine, pay landowners to put in habitat zones, to put in hedgerows, to put in biodiverse areas, and not just private landowners, the public land stock can be looked at. So where it's appropriate, we can put in woodlands along waterways.
So a complete change, but it's a win-win.
And we look at the different income streams.
I want to go to Tom Dunn here, who is interested in sheep. Tom, this is in your area too. What's your overall take of sheep farming and farming?
Like, Declan, I keep sheep and cattle. And to me, if something is not done ASAP, farming is finished in Ireland. Farmers aren't going up to Dublin protesting for the good of their health. It's a crisis. They're not getting a sustainable wage there to live. The cartels in this country, the beef cartels, are owned in big, you know, have huge feedlots of cattle, which shouldn't be allowed. In America, any cartel with beef, they're not allowed to own feedlots. So for the young farmer coming up, there's no light at the end of the tunnel either for them.
What about what Andrew Doyle said?
What did Andrew about the...
About all the complete change of the way things will be looked at, and farmers will do okay out of it.
Which is, well, I don't know where it is anyway, because I'm farming since I was a young boy with my father out in Hollywood, and he was getting the same money for his cattle and sheep back in the 80s as he is now, and everything else has gone up. Fertilizer, feed.
So what's the one thing that has to change in your view?
The price. The price, like, they're talking about, I heard that all the leaders of the political parties that are nice on about, we're going to get a premium price when people cut down on their stock. Get the premium price first, and then let the people cut down on the stock. And let them earn a living. Let the farmer earn a living out there for themselves. And that their sons and daughters, please God, will be able to build on their own lands.
Okay. Have you got an interest in farming, Pat?
Well, I have an interest in rural Ireland, so interconnected with that is an interest in farming. I mean, farming is an integral part of rural Ireland, and we cannot survive without farming. And I think that what's out there at the moment, the divide between climate change and farming being almost the culprit of climate change, is actually wrong. And if we look at Ireland's farming practices, they're probably the most environmental practices across the world. And we must acknowledge that moving forward. Yes, we're in a challenging time in relation to agriculture and how our farms, but there must be allowed a transition period to move, as Andrew has identified, to move to...
There's no difference between you guys, is
like,
there?
I mean, we can't survive without... just. We cannot survive without farming.
Okay.
So,
and the final word to you, Andrew, on that?
Just one point.
Quickly now.
When we joined the EU, the family grocery budget was about 28 to 30% of the annual spend, the weekly spend. It's now down to 12 or 14. This is
just
driven,
as well, with the policy on housing and
just
renting,
just can I
it?
Say the drive towards lower and lower food prices toward market price for a top quality product is going back to what Tom said, is delivery price at the farm gate for the produce. I'm farming too, cattle and sheep as well, and some plantation. Okay. That is the key. But people need to, like, we need to get food, the primary producer of food, respected for being the person who's at the very beginning of the food cycle. If they don't get rewarded, the whole thing will fall down,
and there won't be enough people taking part in it. Yeah, I know. I've got to leave it there, lads. Okay, independent candidate Tom Dunn, also Fianna Fáil's Pat Casey, and Andrew Doyle from Fine Gael. And thanks for all the texts about so many issues, and we could only cover a few. And I hope your issue was covered, and you're happy with the answers. The election, of course, on February the 8th, and standing apart from Andrew Doyle for Fine Gael is Simon Harris and Billy Timmons. Apart from Pat Casey and Fianna Fáil, there's Stephen Donnelly, Sinn Féin, John Brady, Social Democrats, Jennifer Whitmore, Green Party is Stephen Matthews, Labour Party is Paul O'Brien, People Before Profit is Sharon Briggs, Ain't Two is Seamus Connor, Nationalist Party, Eileen Gunning, Independents, Joe Behan, Valerie Cox, John Larkin, Charlie Keddy, William King, John Snell, Anthony Fitzgerald, and as you heard, Tom Dunn. Thank you very much indeed.